Get ready for the new look Rush Hour.
We're not here just to take part. We're here to take over.
Andrew Jarman.
Beautiful to Jarman. Bang. Another nail.
Bernie Vince.
Vince, nine goal kicker, brings the house down.
And Greg Blewett.
There it is. Magnificent performance from young Greg Blewett.
Your favourite weekend show you'll now get every afternoon. Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
For Keno, at the draw every few minutes, there's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today. Gamble responsibly. 1-800-858-858.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hello to you, Bernie Vince, Greg Blewett, Emma G. Welcome to this Friday. Nice to have you on board.
Yeah, thanks, Jars.
Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much.
It's good that we're all here.
Good to see you.
On time, unlike some of the brekkie crew.
Yeah.
Charles, did you hear about that?
What's happened with the brekkie crew?
Well, Loz turned up late this morning after our show last night.
Down at the Big Shed Brewery, which was a good night, wasn't it? The family rocked up and enjoyed the new Triple M beer, the lager.
We had a couple.
So she got three parts as usual?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but I just know that she didn't turn up on time this morning.
Isn't she still on her L plates with the brekkie crew?
She woke up thinking that they started at 7 today for some reason.
I think she'll be called in.
She might have already been in. Actually, you could probably mentor her through that.
I can. Never did that.
Well, you didn't turn up one Saturday.
Yes.
Listen, breaking news coming out of the Tim Payne family and saga. Cricket Australia, they're in turmoil at the moment before the first test. Yeah, honestly, is that fair to say or not?
It's not ideal leading into a very important Ashes series. So, yeah, the Tim Payne saga has taken another twist. So
what's happened just before? We're going to touch base
about it coming up. But he's basically made himself unavailable in the short term.
I'm angry about this.
All right.
Had enough.
Also, boys, just being announced from the Cricket Australia, and you've been spot on, Gregory Blewett, we've got our 47th Test captain.
Paddy Cummins is the man. So that has been the strong rumour for a while now.
Right decision?
Look, I would have gone back to Stephen Smith, but Stephen Smith being the vice-captain is very, very important because I think at some stage Pat Cummins is going to miss some cricket through injury or rest or whatever. So Steve Smith's got a very important job there. Also when Pat Cummins is bowling, probably, he's got to take charge of the fields.
Yeah.
But Paddy Cummins, great man. He's an absolute beauty. I've said for a long time I've got a man crush on Paddy Cummins. Yep. He does everything right.
Yep.
He's a fantastic bowler.
Poster boy for cricket Australia. Yep.
Absolutely. So,
and he's got a good cricket mind too, they tell us.
Yeah, he'll be fine. He's got a huge workload. He's got a big responsibility.
I fear for that part of it. He's our best player. He's been our most consistent over the last 3 or 4 years.
Sometimes that even brings out more in someone.
Sometimes it does, but sometimes it happens the other way. And I don't want to be glass half empty. Well done to him. It's a great appointment. I love him as well. Yep. But I don't know. It's a big workload for bowlers.
Congratulations to Paddy, and no doubt the country will get right behind him and his team.
Well done.
Crows midfield, the draft last night, I watched it. Look, it is boring to watch over 2 nights. They could do it in 1 night.
I asked Cow Turner the other day.
But the Crows building a midfield group with their 3 picks, Burn.
Speed.
We spoke to young Rochelle, Joshua.
Spoke well.
And Port Adelaide, they've added class and speed.
Yes.
They've 4 very good picks and they've all got genuine leg speed. Yeah, so
it's been a bit of the theme, hasn't it? Speed through the picks, all the draftees
now. So we'll cover a bit more of that later on going. Now, I just want to put a shout out to one of our family members of the Rush Hour. His name's Buffer Warren. He's doing a 100K walk. All right, so get on his socials and support him. Yeah, he's going to do a 100K walk for a charity organisation.
Where from?
Now, he said, can you pass this on to Greg Blewett? Day 4 of the Gabba test, there'll be 500 Gabba troopers, and they're all going to wave to you on day 4 of the test match in the Gabba.
Well, Bluey's
there's 500 Gabba troopers.
Bluey's not there.
Won't be there.
Yeah, but they'll be waving to you, all right? This is from Buffer Warren. They're going to send you a message, Greg Blewett, former Australian test batsman.
All right.
500 of them will be dressed up in the Gabba.
Is it? Like a Morse code type setup?
No, Gabba troopers. They'll dress up as troopers, like they all do with the Richie Benos. They'll dress up as 1,000 Richie Benos, all right, for you.
For me.
Day 4 of the test match.
Okay, I'll make sure.
Will we get to day 4?
Will we get the day 4 of course? Well,
hang on.
Aussies will win in Brisbane.
There'll be turmoil before then.
So good luck, Buffer Warren. He's a big fan of ours, so we really appreciate your support there, young man.
Mm.
All right, let's get underway. We've got Bruce Jidde coming.
Yes.
Brucey. Right.
Yes.
What does he do, Greg? What is his role?
He's the new premier.
he's
honestly,
not.
He's the CEO.
Of what?
The committee for Adelaide.
The CEO of
a committee. Was the committee of Adelaide.
No, in Adelaide.
No, but he said of Adelaide.
I think it was in Adelaide.
It's the Rush Hour on Triple M with Bernie, Bluey and Jazz.
No one does this show anywhere in the world. Hey,
where did you go
now
last night too, Jazz?
Hey?
Oh. You took off at 4 minutes past seven.
I can't hear you, mate, because no one else can hear us yesterday on the show. What?
Oh.
What?
So, news breaking this morning that Tim Payne will take an indefinite leave of absence from all cricket, making the shock announcement just 12 days out from the Ashes, guys. So, so he resigned from the captaincy.
Stood down, yeah.
Still in the squad.
Still in the squad. Yep. And we're expecting him to get selected because he was in that 15-man squad. Mm. So that is concerning, I have to say. So his manager, who is James Henderson, released a statement this morning confirming that Payne is stepping away from cricket for an indefinite mental health break. We are extremely concerned for his and his wife Bonnie well-being and will be making no further comment at this time. So that's basically the end of his career, pretty much. Mm. I mean, if he's not playing in the first test match, they've got to, you know, the Australian side have obviously now got to select a different keeper. And you would think that keeper would play unless something terribly goes wrong with that person's form for the rest of the series. And everyone was sort of expecting Tim Payne to retire from international cricket at the end of the summer. So that's it for Tim Payne, you would imagine.
Greg, he played in that two-day practice match or three-day practice match in Tasmania against the South Australian second 11.
Now,
he failed with the bat in both innings.
Yeah, he made 1 and 7.
Say if he made a 50 or a 70 or a 100.
It probably doesn't matter. I don't know.
Do you think he was so cooked? He's so cooked mentally that he can't.
I'm sick of this.
Like, he can't face
up. Is this what Australia wants? Well, any sportsman that does that, you've got to remember what happened. It's pretty minor what's happened.
4 years ago.
And 4 years ago, before he was captain, before any of this, I don't even know if he might have just got back in the test side. And I just, even like with the text thing as well, we love hanging people out to dry. Have a look what's happened now. He's on a mental health break. His family's cooked. He's cooked. He can't even do the thing he loves to do, which is cricket. That's his love. That's what he, you know, we play sport for fun on weekends now, but that's his job. He actually loves the game. Mm. He's have to step away now from his love. And I just fear for what the Australian public and the world, but this is more of a world thing as well, but the Australian public do to individuals just to get a story out there and make themselves feel better. Oh, I'm bloody sick of it.
Well, I put my hand up. I was very critical of what he did, and I basically was very strong in my opinion.
He stuffed up, no doubt about it.
Yeah, because morally it was wrong.
Yep.
And you're representing your country, you know. So I put my hand up, but obviously now he needs space to recover and try and find out what it looks like moving forward. Who replaces Tim Payne now that spot's available?
Well,
what's your gut feel?
My gut feel is still Alex Carey. Alex has had
but what I've
realised as well. So for our listeners, Alex Carey, his last month with the bat has been very disappointing. I don't think he's made double figures out of four or five hits. So that's not ideal.
Okay.
I think his keeping's been fine.
Right.
But the other thing just to throw into the mix, so is Josh Inglis, who's a very good player, whose name has been touted as well. But he's been been at home in quarantine.
So he hasn't played any cricket.
He's returned from the World T20. He didn't play over there.
Yeah, right.
So he would have been practicing, but he hasn't played any games. Yeah. And then he's done his two-week quarantining when he's returned to Australia. So
tough to
He hasn't played any cricket either.
Straight into a test team after not playing at all.
I'm hoping that the bank of runs that Alex has made before this month counts for, you know, his selection coming up.
His first ever test match for his country.
But they're both going to go up to Brisbane, Josh Inglis and Alex Carey. They're both in the squad.
Okay, good.
To play an internal game against the other Aussie guys.
Right.
So, you know, the performances there will probably matter a little bit, but I'm hoping that, you know, Keza will get through that game all right and he'll play that first test.
And purely out of those two.
Purely
is Mr. Wade in the mix?
No.
You just never know.
No.
You know, because he's kept before.
You'd want him, you want him in, Jazz?
No, not at all. Oh. We've got to start. You've got to start backing
you gotta move
in, Ali.
On, don't
yeah, you do.
Move
I think you do yep. for the Australian. Well, the Poms are licking their lips, aren't they, at the moment?
Oh, we've heard nothing about
laughing.
Their,
you know what?
Giggling.
A month ago, I'm going, you know, it's going to be an absolute cakewalk here. Yeah. We'll we're going to trounce the Poms. Now, you're right. They're preparing themselves up in Brisbane.
No injuries.
Watching everything going on.
Stokes decides to fly in.
That's right.
Ben Stokes, one of the best players in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, I might go and play now.
What about the Barmy Army? Aren't they going to be full?
They've got all their songs ready.
Wow. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's going to be. I can't wait. I cannot wait. 12 days away. Cannot wait for it to start.
But unfortunately for Tim Payne, it's time now. He's obviously got to regroup with his family and recover, and we wish him well.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about Tim Payne, but also his wife.
Yeah.
Bonnie.
And I agree a bit with Bernie. Like, they've gone through this 4 years ago, and now it's all been brought up again, so he's got some stuff to deal with.
Triple M rocks cricket this summer. The rivalry between Australia and England is set to explode December 16 to 20 at Adelaide Oval. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketek, the Vodafone Ashes series. It just means more. It's the Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars.
Now, last night, the draft, I watched just about all of it, and a lot of the clubs in round 4 and 5, Byrne, passed up their picks.
Yep.
So rookie list gets announced today, so some young... But that's for another day, the rookie list. I think that needs to be abolished and just have an extended active list of, say, 42 players, because when they brought in that rookie list, it was to recruit 18, 19-year-olds.
Correct.
Now, Levi Casbolt is 32 years old and potentially could go on a rookie list if, you know, he sorts out the vaccine situation. But anyway, the Crows would be very happy, wouldn't they?
No, they are.
With their 3 picks last night.
They targeted some small forward midfield sort of talent.
Yep.
So they got Jake Soligo at pick 36. And they did a bit of a pick swap with Melbourne at one stage, but they still got their man Zach Taylor with pick 44 from the Calder Canners. Both won best and fairest with I think Jake played for the Eastern Rangers and Zach for Calder Canners, as I said. Both best and fairest winners, both prolific ball winners. Maybe start sort of small forward roles or that half forward role, as we see with a lot of the midfielders these days, but we'll push into the midfield and Zach just racks them up, just finds a heap of the footy.
Yep.
I think his last few games, he had 32, 34 and 37 disposals. So he gets a heap of the footy and they've targeted some speed too. So especially with obviously Josh Rochelli going the other night as well. He's got some real toe, had him on last night. So they're pretty excited.
Yeah.
They targeted their man or their men and they got what they're after. So
with the way that the game's trending, Byrne, is, you know, taller midfielders, does that worry you at all that they're 180 centimetres?
Not really. I was speaking to Roo about this the other day, or last night, and he said, no, you take best available. So when I say best available, the speed, I think, overrides they really targeted speed, Adelaide, last night. I said, so what are we after, Roo? And I don't know if Roo just made it up or what he was saying, but he honestly said, we're targeting speed, not so speed over height.
Yep. Yeah.
So, yes, Paddy Cripps, 192 centimetre midfielder, but speed,
he's not quick.
You know, he's a bit of a loper. So they've targeted real inside speed. And that's, you know, they've got players there. Laird on the list, he's a pretty tall midfielder. Brody Smith can play midfield.
Miller will be back.
I think they've done what their need was to inject some speed into this
into
side.
The midfield.
And I think they've done that.
Yep. And Port Adelaide, so they'd be happy with their 3 picks. So no
doubt about
it.
Sounds like it. They were happy,
And Greg, the game now is about midfield. It's a midfielder's game.
Yeah.
So you've had your 3 key position players, your ruckman, your key forward, your key back, and the rest now have to run like a midfielder, don't they?
Yeah.
You know, do a sub 620 in a 2K-er. You're playing midfield in AFL footy, aren't you?
But you can't fit everyone in the midfield either.
Not at
so
all.
You've got to have another strength to your bow, which these boys do. Rochelli, obviously, small forward, but he could inject himself in the midfield as well.
He can play wing midfield.
The ground, but you've got to be able to play multiple positions in today's footy, and it does help, Bluey, to answer your question, being a bit taller, because that gives you makes you a bit more flexible at least, but you've got to be able to roll through half back or half forward, one of the toughest roles on the ground. Yeah. I'd much rather roll through half back, but you've got to have a couple of strings to your bow because otherwise you don't play. Mm. You know, if it's like for like and it's on the balance of going, you know, two players, you're going to pick the guy that can play multiple positions, correct, which these guys sound like they can.
Mm. Port Adelaide, four picks, Greg and Burn, and look, they're pick 12, Josh Sinn,
yeah,
defender
highly.
Mid, left footer. Beautiful.
I saw the highlights of him. I know he's had a few injuries lately, but he looked quality. And the talk was that he was maybe top five before those injuries.
But Port Adelaide would be delighted, Byrne. Who else did they get?
And they moved up the draft to get him. So they were worried that he potentially could have gone a couple of picks before that. Yeah. So they were really
happy. Who else did they pick up, Byrne?
I haven't got the Port Adelaide one.
Pick 54, Hugh Jackson, another midfielder with some speed.
From North Adelaide?
Yeah. So Western Australia, they had up to like 15, 16 drafted.
Every highlight.
North Adelaite had three picked last night.
Hey, I noticed that. All the highlights all had the Western Australian jersey on.
Yeah, I know. And then they picked 56, Dante Vicente.
Ruckman,
big forward. And then obviously number pick 60, Jace Burgoyne, the son of Peter Burgoyne. Yeah. He was a superstar, the uncle of
Shawnee.
The great Undergill Shawnee, midfielder defender with speed. So Port Adelaide delighted again. Yeah. They just keep doing it.
They got a lot of late picks, didn't they? Like in the 50s and 60s there. But they seem pretty happy as well, as you are after a draft.
And the other interesting information I had before we wrap it up is 70% of these lads that were drafted in the last 2 days all come from the private school system.
Mm.
70%.
Well, they target talented young kids now, and you know, offer scholarships,
a lot of scholarships,
that sort of stuff to get them down and get them, you know, developing the right way. But that plays
sort
a big role.
Trending the way that the college system works in the States.
Correct.
Really?
Yeah, you're right. Mm. Yep. So anyway, both clubs will be very happy. So we'll wait and see what the rookie list. Blaine O'Loughlin from North Adelaide may get picked up on a rookie list too. If not, he's a North Adelaide boy. Yeah, number
four from North Adelaide.
Blaine O'Loughlin. I think he's the cousin of the great man himself.
Is that
Michael,
the guy that the Crows are targeting? Because they've said that there's definitely someone in that rookie.
Maybe.
Blue said not to say that, not to put that. You'll get a phone call.
Greg, not again.
He didn't say that to me.
Yes, he did he?
I said not to say that.
No, I wasn't meant to mention his name either.
You've just ruined his career.
Stuffed it up again.
Good one.
Love talking to this great man. He was a great for Adelaide United on and off the field. We take on Melbourne City tomorrow night, Cooper Stadium. We want to packed house.
Ooh.
Our boys did very well in Perth last week.
A draw.
But I love this man. He was a gift. When the ball was around his feet, he made a talk. And he's the CEO of the Committee for Adelaide, Bruce Gittay, our dear friend, joins us on this rush hour. Good afternoon, Bruce, and thanks for your time on a Friday. You just come back from a run, did you?
Gentlemen, thanks for having me on. Love the intro.
That's a fair title. And you got it out right,
yeah, that's
Jazz.
It,
so
yeah.
What actually is your role in there in Parliament?
In Parliament.
Parliament?
So he's in Parliament.
What are you talking about? Yeah. I want him to be
Chunk
Premier.
Heads. He's not.
I thought last time you were in here, you were going to be Premier in a few weeks.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're an apolitical organisation. So we exist for our members to inform and influence policy. So that's essentially a summation of the Committee for Adelaide. We're a diverse group. It's not just business. We've got charities. We've got community organisations as part of the membership, and we're there to inform and influence policy. So with two elections next year, it's an exciting time to be in the role, that's for sure.
Any room for Jars? Because that seems like it would suit Andrew Jarman.
Oh, absolutely.
Down to a team.
Yeah. You need a leader.
I think Jars would excel in this organisation. So Jars, if you've got any spare time,
we'll catch up. Absolutely, my word. Now let's talk about your boys, Adelaide United. You must have been very proud of the lads. Now the Perth trip's bloody damn hard. Mm. We know that in AFL football. So 1-1, even though we were the best side on the night and had our chances.
100%. You summed it up. Perth trip's very, very tough, and the way that they played, they should take a lot of confidence out of that game. Perth would argue that they were a little bit unlucky. Oh. They scored a goal that was disallowed, that was just offside. But if you watch a complete game, the number of chances Adelaide United created, the number of the way that they played, the quality with which they played with, I think Adelaide United were definitely the better side on the night. And a draw in Perth, is a good result regardless, but they definitely deserve the win.
Hey, Bruce, how do we fill Cooper Stadium again? Because I want to take it back to the good old days when you're exciting us, full house, and the crowd goes nuts, but now we're just seeing a few empty seats.
You think it's dropped off, have you?
Well, how do we get it back? I want to fill it.
COVID.
Hang on. Oh.
Look, I think it's a good question. It's difficult this year. They're renovating the stadium. Okay, so let's start there. They're renovating the stadium. That's going to make it difficult. But you've got to win games.
Yeah.
The more games you win, the success you have on the field will always attract more people, as well as continuing. And the club's been doing this very well over the last couple of years. Deep community engagement. Getting out to the kids, getting out to schools, et cetera, and building your brand, because when you can't always win, but if you know the community has an affinity with the players, the club, then they'll come back and support even during the tough times. So I think it's two pronged. The on-field performance is definitely the key. That's number one, no doubt. But also all the work that they do off the field is important as well.
Well said. Excellent. Hey, Bruce, I'm getting very excited. Cassini Yenge. He is a beautiful build, strong.
Yeah.
Is that warranted?
He's a specimen. There's a lot to be a lot to be excited about. He's a specimen with a lot of potential. Now, injuries have hampered his development over the last several years. He had osteitis pubis, hamstring injuries, and the like. But he's looking fit. He's looking fit. He's looking good. He scored as a striker, scored your first goal in the first game of the season, and he's got the backing of the coach. I mean, this is a young Aussie kid, 22-odd years old. They haven't gone out to sign a foreign striker. Last year we had Tommy Urich, for example, who was the number one striker. But Carl said, no, I'm going to put my faith in this young kid. Brilliant. We believe he can lead the line. And he started well, but he's got to stay fit. Mm. He's got to keep playing well. He's got to keep scoring goals.
Melbourne City, obviously a great season last season. Got our work cut out. Big underdogs. How do we beat them?
Good question. They're a bloody good team, and they're actually a bloody good club. Mm. They are the benchmark. That's for sure. They're the benchmark. How do we beat them? I think we all got to play to our ability. You know, if Adelaide United players can play to their ability, coach makes the right decisions, it's one of those teams where if someone's off or if something's off, they'll punish because they've got the quality. You everyone's going to have to be on their game, and everyone's going to have to make the right decisions at the right times, and that's how you beat a team of the caliber of Melbourne City.
Chatting with Adelaide United great Bruce Gitte. Before we let you go, the AFL draft's been on the last few nights.
Mm.
If you were drafted to an AFL club, what type of player would you have been in the AFL system, Brucey?
Look, you know what? I think I would have been in the Brett Ebert sort of mould.
No.
I would have been kicking goals from the pocket. You know.
Here he goes.
You asked me, I answered. Yeah,
that's right. I think you're right. I think there would be a Bruce Gitte pocket at Adelaide Oval.
You know what it would have been? It would have been me and Treaders. Me, Treaders, Motlop, you know, that generation. I think that's the forward line.
Yeah, maybe any Crows players you might have been like, or just sticking to Port, eh?
He's a Port man.
Hey, I know. I'm a Port man. I would have played for Port.
Mate, thanks for sharing your time. Keep up the good work in terms of being the CEO of the committee for Adelaide. We'll catch up for a coffee in the near future.
Will you?
Go United. Go United. And a message to the fans that haven't signed up for this year. What's your message, mate?
Get out, sign up, get a membership, and support this team, support this club.
Brilliant.
They're doing good things.
Yeah, well done. There he is, boys. Bruce Gitte. Take care. Have a good weekend, mate.
Thanks, gentlemen. Love you guys.
Yeah, brilliant.
There he is,
Bruce. He's just great to talk to.
He's a good man.
And he'll be premier in a few weeks.
Premier. So he's going to be a premier in
premier.
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 You've had too many frothies last night at
Big
Shed.
Not enough.
Now, guys, we have officially launched our Triple M beer. You can knock off with it tonight. That means get it now on tap and cans at the Bridgeway Hotel and the Lakes Hotel and on tap at the Havelock Hotel and the Maid Hotel.
What?
And, of course, also at Big Shed Brewing, which is where we celebrated launching it last night.
This is everywhere.
Yeah.
Is that the Fay Group?
Yes, yep. sir. Very beautiful good. Yep. family, good the Faye Group. Great friends of ours at Triple M. So it was a good night. Good to catch up with some of our family members.
It was, yeah.
It was a busy night down
briefly
there.
Briefly for you.
Yeah, briefly. Briefly for you. You had commitments.
Did you? What, the draft?
I could see a lot of the listeners loved consuming the new Triple M beer.
It's a good point you make, because we went around to a few of the listeners, the family, and this is what they said about the beer.
Extremely delicious.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's probably one of the best beers I've tried in a while.
I love it. It's delicious. Definitely my drink of the summer down at the beach. Good book, the waves, my Triple M lager, summer's set.
What do you think of the Triple M lager?
It was excellent. You can beat that. Sorry, mate.
It's bloody delicious, isn't it?
I thought the Triple M beer was ditz-licious.
Went down really smooth. Great tasting.
Best lager I've ever had, mate.
It's bloody great. Bloody great beer.
Yeah, it's good, man. It's, good change to what's out there at the moment.
Yeah, very tasty for a lager.
Nice and lagery. It was deep in flavour, so, you know, I enjoyed it.
This is bloody... It is unbelievable, mate. No, you can't say that.
Pretty easy drinking it.
Pretty sweet design on the can, if you ask me.
It's so good. I'm going to have another one.
There you go.
Tell you what, we've got some beer connoisseurs there. Didn't they get in depth? Jeez. It's very lagery, one of them said. Bloody beautiful. Was that you, Joe? No.
I like the can. Love the can.
Good design. Impressive. Who did that?
Not sure, but I had a... It is pretty good because I had a little headache this morning when I woke up, so I couldn't get enough last night. Yeah, they actually stopped had that serving us, didn't they, at the end?
You had that many?
No, well, there was a timeline.
Did I do something wrong?
Somehow you squeezed another beer out of them last night, you looked after yourself and Biggles.
No, and you?
No, I didn't get a beer.
Oh, well.
And Biggles was down
you
there?
Were there. Yeah, well... It's funny you mention Biggles because I can see the answering machine flashing. Normally that's on a Monday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I think it says one new message. Oh, the time was from last night. This could be anything. Biggles, press it,
I tell you what, it's just the nectar of the gods. It reminds me of that time when Roo on the footy trip in Cairns, all he did was just how he was a how the him like they were drinking his wet root. But this is top shelf Triple M lager that I would absolutely bathe in.
And that wasn't Hato, that was Beagles himself.
Well
he's
done,
got a direct line, has he?
You know what he didn't finish off with?
Not
too much.
did I go too far?
He's bathing in it now.
Now, there was a good band too. They were right, weren't they?
Yes, yeah, Revel.
Revel. They were awesome, actually. No, were great. Yeah, great cover band.
You were up and about. You ended up on the guitar.
Yeah, they were great.
I think with nights like that, it was a bit of a tough crowd at the start. Yeah. And then as the Triple M beer just started to flow,
lager, 5.5%.
Well done. Well done by everyone that was involved. And thanks to the Big Shed Brewery who looked after us. So
very good.
Get around
and
it.
Get out and drink it on tap. It's nothing like having one off the wood.
Now, guys, last night, somebody won Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
$1 million. No one ever wins that.
Well, it's only happened twice in history, right?
Someone cheated once.
Really?
Yes, overseas.
Well, I think this was legit. This person walked away with $1 million for the second time ever in history. So I thought that today we might see if you guys can answer some of the questions that he had to answer to win the million.
Who gets the money? You split it.
Me. Yeah, work as a team, I reckon. Right. And see if together, as the Rush Hour boys, you can win $1 million.
Okay. Guys, can you go get me a drink, please? Because...
What?
Well, you're not going to contribute to this, surely.
There's no spelling questions, are there?
There's no mass questions, no numbers.
At least I'm honest. I'll put my hand up.
Oh, it's multiple choice A, B, C, or D.
Anything about history or music or geography, I'll thrive.
Yeah, there's a mixture. Look, we've taken just the first five because they're the easiest, all right?
So this is $1 million that this individual won last night, Eddie McGuire.
The same questions, that's right.
Same millionaire.
Millionaire.
Oh, no. You don't say it correctly, though, G.
Millionaire.
That's better.
Millionaire.
That's how he says it. Let's play.
Here we go.
All right. Question one. Which of these is the title of the 2019 Elton John biopic film starring Taron Egerton as Elton John? A. Rocket Man.
Yep. That one.
Wait, you gotta wait for
Lock in A, thanks.
A, move on next.
Yeah. All right. Lock in A?
Yeah.
Rocket Man, that is correct.
Yes.
Told you.
Question two. to do something that disturbs the current situation.
Oh.
Okay, so it's like a saying, is figuratively to rock the what?
Rock the boat.
Oh, lock my in, God. Have you guys in. Watched the game?
No.
You go through the multiple choice and then you lock one in.
No, we're saving time.
Okay, rock the boat. That is correct.
That's two in a row.
All right,
we're getting close to $1 million.
Million.
Someone hiding a malicious intent by pretending to be good is said to be a what in sheep's clothing? A.
Wolf.
Wolf, yeah.
Shut up. Just get the bloody answers in.
Lock him, Wolf.
Lock him, Wolf.
We're lucky, Wolf.
At least Eddie gives them time to get the answers
That's
out.
Right. Okay, so the options are goat, wolf, cow, or pig.
Goat.
Goat.
B,
wolf. Locking goat.
Is correct. 3-3.
Did you explain this game correctly? We haven't.
Yeah.
You're underestimating the intelligence.
Yeah.
I've just taken the same five questions that this Anthony McManus, who won $1 million.
Well, they get a bit harder, don't they?
They don't get harder.
Yes,
they do. All right, guys. Number four, Jay.
Question four.
Yeah.
Released as a single in 1970.
You said you know it.
Rubber Ducky. Right up Jar's alley. You like a bath, don't you? Yeah. Was sung by which Sesame Street character?
Oh, yeah.
A, Elmo. B, Big Bird. C, Mrs. Snuffleupagus.
That's not him.
D, Ernie.
Big Bird doesn't talk or sing, so he's out.
It's D.
Mr. Snuffleupagus.
D. Ernie.
Yeah.
You're going with Ernie?
You want to lock it in?
Lock it in, please.
What was the first one?
What's the first one?
Elmo.
Oh. No, it's either Elmo or Ernie.
Rubber ducky.
I said D. All right, so go G.
I reckon A. Mm.
Well, you're a team.
Yeah, we're locking in D.
Okay, D.
D is correct.
Well done, Jazz.
Well done, Jazz. All right, that means this is the $1 million question.
Been watching a bit of Sesame Street.
$1 million. For $1 million.
Million.
Which of these is the name of a popular US chocolate bar first produced in 1920?
Okay.
A. Magic Johnson.
No.
B. Baby Ruth. C. Tiger Woods. D. Tom Brady.
It's Baby Ruth.
Baby Ruth.
Locking in B. Baby Ruth.
Yeah.
It's Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but the chocolate bar.
It's called Baby.
Yeah, I know that.
Well,
for $1 million.
Now, you did this, Byrne. You gave this answer out, Greg and I. So if we lose this, you take full responsibility.
Oh, so what, you don't want it, do you? Do you want to change it to something?
I'm backing you in, mate.
You said it's Baby Ruth.
But I said Babe Ruth is what they named the chocolate bar after. The
Can we just find out?
Question five. Baby Ruth is correct!
Yeah! Yeah! No! No! You didn't want it! You didn't want it! No! Get away from me! Get away from me.
Is there anything we can't do? Is there anything?
Can you just call in management and tell them that we're out? Find a new show next year because we're off.
You can shove your next 2 years right up your diver.
Yeah, we're out.
I think that's it for another week. Is that a week down already?
Yeah.
We've got a week left and we've got a couple of OBs next week, which is outside broadcasting at a couple of pubs, and then we're done in 2021.
Wow.
Is that it? One more week.
One more to go, my boy.
Yeah, and then next year, live 46.
There might be some changes next year.
After what? You're a bit grumpy from last night.
No, not at all.
No, you are.
Not at all.
Why are you grumpy, Jazz?
No, I've been very happy and you'll hear it next. Now, highlights tapes.
Are you throwing to it?
I don't know.
Is that you throwing to it?
Wasn't meant to be me.
You'll hear it right now.
No, but it wasn't meant to be me setting this bit up.
Well, no,
it was you and G. Any chance you two talk? What are you talking
about? I don't want to throw to it yet. I want to keep talking to you about why you're grumpy.
I'm getting the nod. I better push the button, Ben.
Oh, I'll press it.
It's time to sit back and press play. This is the Rush Hour's Highlight Tapes. It's been another big week for Bernie, Bluey and Giles on the Rush Hour, but firstly, I want to go back to last Friday when Australian Olympic cyclist Alex Porter joined the show. Jarman, the impeccable sports journalist that he is, got straight to the point with all the hard-hitting questions.
So, everything else all right?
Yeah, man. If you want to just have a pretty normal chat, life's good, you know?
Amazing, Jarman. I mean, he's an athlete who's represented his country in London, Hong Kong and Tokyo, and he jumps on the Rush Hour to cop Jarman.
So everything's all tracking well. Not long.
It's going good.
Luckily, we've got Vern, though, who knows how to straighten things up when we need it.
Yeah, I went to the opera last night. Classing it up. Got to suit up, opera, which is nice. Yeah.
What happens in opera?
They sing.
But what issue can they do? Just serve drinks.
Also this week, we ventured out to race 3 at Ascot on Saturday to find there was a horse racing named Jarman. And just like the great man himself, this horse was elite, even from the start.
That's it. They're racing as well. Jarman stood here. Jarman missed the kick by 4.
Okay, so maybe it didn't start well, but surely it made a comeback.
And tacking on is Jarman, who dawdled out of the machine.
Maybe it just made a dash at the finish line then.
Jarman's chances left there at the start when it missed it.
Okay, so Jarman the horse didn't have the best run this week, but the man himself, well, he was performing beautifully.
No, I'm not saying, all I'm saying is that you've got to do your due diligence. Due diligence.
Also this week, we had the big golf day. Ruined it versus the Rush Hour boys at the Grange Golf Club. Now, even before the game, Bluey knew he had it in the bag.
I'm a state golfer. State cricketer, so I'll get the job done.
Match you did, Blue. Jarman, your teammate, though, well, his approach to the game was a little different.
What I learned is just to be patient, all right? Let the ball do the work. That's what I learned. Let the ball do the work.
Yes, sir.
You've got to hit the ball.
Yeah, but
the ball needs to make sure it's got its own energy.
I'm not really sure what you're talking about there, Jarman, but as for Byrne, he was focused, professional, driven, and when asked about the teams you're up against, well, he didn't hold back.
All pretty shit.
Nicely done, Byrne. Actually, Jars, do you remember who was on your team?
Who did you play with yesterday?
3 terrific young men. Good people. I had Dave, I had Buddy Timmy, I had a cast of thousands with me. And they're ripping fellas.
Wow. What do you think about that one, Byrne?
All pretty shit.
Beautifully said, Bernard. And that is going to wrap up another big week for this global show. So until next week, just remember, no one else is doing it.
Oh, just.
Can you say due diligence?
Well, yeah, can you say that for me?
And we've got to give Benny our producer
very well.
Well done, Benny.
Well done, Ben. Say due diligence.
Yes. So. Due diligence.
Oh, well done.
Yes. Yeah. I'm only messing around with
it. Oh, well, yeah.
Hey, lovies, have a good weekend. Yes. Stay safe. We've got one more week to go and look after each other, yeah?
Mm. Well done to Paddy Cummins.
Well done, yeah, congratulations.
Scotty's brother.
One of the greatest honours, and he's the poster boy of Cricket Australia. And, mate, I reckon we're in good hands.
How do you say his last name, Jase?
Cummings.
Scotty's brother.
See you later. See you, G.
Bye.
No, November's still on, G.
Only for a few more days.
Yes.
And what's December?
Hey.
What's he say about December? What's he say? What's
that? You were gone.
We'll have to wait.
A few Triple M beers.
Well, what happened?
No, I can't say.
Should I know?
Wait till December.
See you, family.